sitting on a driveway in Smyrna are two boxes with wooden frames and mesh screens. There are bees inside, clustered and hang from the top like stalactites. Kathy Hosler, the president of the Delaware Beekeepers Association, says we're looking at about 3 pounds of bees.
Which is roughly, it's something like 6,000 bees, 7,000 bees.
Hosler had just driven down from Wilkinsburg, Pennsylvania, where she'd gotten the bees. One box will help set up her neighbor's very first hive. The two of them put on latex gloves, veils, and white jackets, then take the bees over to a white and orange striped wooden crate. Hosler takes a lid off of this hive box, adjusts the contents, and then starts to remove a metal lid at the top of the bee box.
So the first thing you do is you get the queen out.
The queen will draw the other bees to the hive, so finding her is crucial. But the queen is only slightly larger than the other bees, and even with the white stripe that the queen is marked with, locating her can be difficult. After a few minutes of careful rummaging, Hosler points her out.
And you can see her. See how there's a white dot running around on the inside? There she is.
Once the queen has been put inside, then it's time to pour out the rest of the bees.
This is the fun part.
Thousands of bees start swirling around in a large space around the hive. Hosler says they'll gradually gather into the hive in the next hour or so once they've calmed down. Hosler got into beekeeping about 3 years ago for the same reasons many people have in the last decade. Since the winter of 2006-2007, beekeepers from all over began reporting unusually high losses in their hives, an average of 30% compared to the historical average of 10 to 15%. And the really weird part was that worker bees abandoned hives with plenty of honey reserves, and yet few of their carcasses were found near their colony. Scientists are still trying to determine the root cause of this phenomenon known as colony collapse disorder, whether it's parasites, a disease, or the use of pesticides. The loss of honeybees poses a real threat to food security since many major crops produced in the U.S. depend on them for pollination. So as the public became aware of colony collapse disorder, a grassroots movement to save honeybees began in people's backyards, including those in Delaware. In the first state, there's approximately 270 registered beekeepers, including commercial. But according to the State Department of Agriculture, the number of commercial operations has remained pretty consistent, while non-commercial has drastically risen in the last few years. Deborah Delaney, professor of apiculture at University of Delaware, says you can see that reflected at beekeeping meetings and workshops where attendance has spiked.
We'd be excited about 15 or something like that. Now, sometimes we'll have 50. Sometimes we have to turn people away just because the structure that we're holding the meeting in or the seminar in can't hold as many people who want to register for the event.
And as the beekeeping community grows in the state, so does concern over bees' exposure to pesticides. Worker bees will forage in a 6-mile radius around their hive. Especially in the more rural Kent and Sussex counties, it's common for a person's backyard to be right next to a field of crops. At the UD Parity Center in Dover, about 40 people showed up for Kent County's monthly Delaware Beekeepers Association meeting. Someone brings up the pesticide that Denrek sprays for mosquito control.
So what you're saying is what they're spraying is not harmful to the bees at this point in time. But if they go to some different...
The adulticide is nasty on bees.
Okay, and what do you do to protect your bees?
The need for pesticide applicators and beekeepers to communicate with each other is something the State Department of Agriculture has been working on ever since President Obama issued a memorandum in 2014 to develop a federal strategy focused on helping honeybees and other pollinators. Eventually, the EPA left it up to each state to determine the best course of action. Around that time, the state began allowing commercial beekeepers to use an online system called DriftWatch. Drift here refers to wind and other forces that spread pesticides. Chris Wade, the pesticide administrator at the Department of Ag, explains.
We have complaints on drift sometimes from pesticide herbicides drifting on there, so that we saw there was a need to have something in place for communication, and so that the, you know, especially crop growers and the beekeepers could list their sites so that the applicators could have a reference to, you know, try to avoid those sites when they're doing applications.
The state opened up DriftWatch to commercial beekeepers this spring in a program that they call BeeCheck. Before, there were 12 people registered. Now it's doubled to 25. Here's Laura Mensch, a hydrologist with the Department of Agriculture.
And we didn't want to just favor big, you know, big commercial people. We wanted to expand it. And really, we're trying to get people interested in keeping bees and in basically pollinator health.
This supports Delaware's developing pollinator protection plan, a set of voluntary guidelines meant to promote the health of all kinds of pollinators. It mainly focuses on advising beekeepers on limiting pesticide exposure and encouraging conversation between them and growers. Chris Wade and the Department of Ag's Plant Industries Administrator Faith Kuhn says there's sometimes multiple people involved.
Well, a lot of times the beekeeper might have an agreement with the owner of the land. I'm gonna put my hives out like I've done for 20 years. But the grower might not be aware that they're putting the hives out there.
Right now, there's like a missing link.
Yeah.
So we have to loop the landowner and the grower who might be renting the land from the landowner and the beekeeper.
Making Driftwatch more inclusive and putting together these recommendations for best practices are expected to do a lot for pollinator health in Delaware. UD's Deborah Delaney sees more work needed on how beekeepers and growers should engage with each other.
Yeah, and I think that's the trickiest part, is trying to figure out how to do that. Just seeing a name and realizing that they're there is not really going to help you unless you reach out and actually talk to them and start to figure out, you know, plans for if a problem should occur, or, you know, spray dates or active foraging dates for the hive. So all of these things need to be discussed once those, you know, people are identified who you need to have these conversations with.
Back in Smyrna, Kathy Hostler lives right next to a soybean farm. She's never actually talked to the farmer about her hives, but she isn't totally sure if her bees are going there anyway. In the grand scheme of things, she doesn't want to interfere with somebody's bottom line.
This is my hobby. That's their livelihood.
But when Driftwatch opened up to hobbyists, she was eager to sign up. And having these bees nearby could greatly benefit the growers' yields. John Brown, who is Hostler's neighbor, says he saw a huge difference in his garden after the hives were built next to his yard.
Might be just in my brain that I'm thinking that, but I noticed I had a really good year last year and the year before, extremely good.
It's actually not just in his head. Honeybees pollinate $15 billion worth of crops in the U.S. every year. And a number of top Delaware crops like watermelon and pumpkins wouldn't be able to flourish without them. That makes the state's pollinator protection plan, which should be finalized sometime this year, as critical to the economic health of the state's ag industry as it is to the health of honeybees. And the first step to promoting both is to make sure that everyone is on the same page. Eli Chen, Delaware Public Media.